Sometimes it's the pure wonder and magic of a form of technology that can be the driver of a whole new way of looking at life and health. Dr. Christelle Wetty and her family fled economic instability and unrest in the Democratic Republic of Congo, along with millions of other displaced persons in the region, years ago. Now no longer a young girl and today a public health physician, Dr. Wetty has won funding this past year to provide ultrasounds for young pregnant women and testing for things like malaria, HIV, and anemia to the most rural parts of the country. The name of the organization is Ona Mtoto Wako, which means see your baby. And that's literally the draw. The mobile clinic was piloted in May to assist a region which has among the highest maternal death rates in the world. Dr. Wetty spoke to us from Pretoria, South Africa. She says the chance to see a living fetus has overcome obstacles in a place that has virtually no modern healthcare infrastructure.
Up to 80% of women in this region do not have access to healthcare facilities, either due to financial barriers or due to physical barriers, because the roads are really in very bad condition and the clinics are very, very far from where the women actually live in their villages. So what we do is we basically use a mobile clinic which goes into the women's villages and provides them with high quality antenatal care. And at the same time, we allow each mom to see her baby through ultrasonography.
What does the advance of technology mean you can put in this mobile van that really brings, in a sense, miraculous treatments to people in the rural Congo?
The ultrasound is basically a key. It's the most important component of this project, just because it allows us, number one, to attract all the moms, all the women want to see their babies, irrespective of what you give them, whether we give them iron tablets, anti-malaria treatment, ARVs, it doesn't matter. Every mom just wants to have the ultrasound. So that's the first thing. But secondly, it also works from a diagnostic perspective, because with the ultrasound, we can identify problems with the placenta, problems with the baby, any congenital abnormalities, if the baby has died intrauterine, if the baby's lying in an abnormal position and the mom needs to have a cesarean section. So those are some of the things that we can actually identify early in pregnancy so that she can actually move closer to the healthcare facilities, closer to the delivery, to be able to deliver in a healthcare facility.
What are the challenges of follow-up treatments if you discover that, yes, there is an abnormality at the beginning of a pregnancy? How do you do follow-up so that you can make sure that delivery will be without complications?
So what's great about being able to initiate this project is that we're able to identify moms very, very early. So what happens in most cases, even here in South Africa, is that a lot of pregnant women only go and see the doctor for the first time or only go to the healthcare facility in the second or the third trimester, very late in pregnancy. And because this is a very poor community, if mom needs any kind of intervention, it takes a while for the family to come together or the community to come together and pool money together to pay for the moms to get intervention. But because this project goes straight into the villages, we identify moms as early as in their first trimester. So mom can be referred to the clinic or to the hospital very early in pregnancy. And it gives the family time to actually collect funds or raise funds for mom to be able to get a Caesar if she needs it at the hospital. So I think what it buys us time. And secondly, it helps us prevent diseases that could happen during pregnancy. For example, we give iron tablets because a lot of these moms live in a malaria endemic area. So a lot of these moms are anemic. But if she never has her Hb tested or hemoglobin tested, and she only finds out at delivery that she's anemic and she bleeds, she will die. But if we give her iron tablets during her pregnancy, her hemoglobin will be high enough that even if she does bleed, her risk of dying due to bleeding during pregnancy is very low. Same thing for malaria, same thing for HIV, same thing for high blood pressure. So we've made sure that we basically target the leading causes of maternal mortality in the region through this project. And that prevents a lot of the reasons for mortality. And if we do identify high-risk women, it allows these women to actually get to the healthcare facilities much quicker or earlier in pregnancy.
Is this a subsidized program? I mean, will families get some assistance in paying for some of the treatments? You mentioned that families do have to pool resources for certain things that are most expensive.
Yeah. So we were very lucky in that we developed this project and we submitted it to the Aspen Institute called the Aspen Ideas Award. And we actually won a seed grant of $25,000 to pilot the project in Congo. So with that $25,000, we were able to buy all the consumables and pay for the local staff who we trained to actually deliver this project without any cost to the community. So all moms received all treatment that she needed during pregnancy and was seen by a healthcare physician and received her ultrasound at no expense to the pregnant woman or her family.
In all the things that have been going on in the world, in Syria over the last 5 years, that involve doctors and some doctors who are actually being targeted in conflict zones and have had to develop extraordinary treatments to deal with conditions that, you know, where there's no electricity, all this sort of thing.
Yep.
It seems as though the world is acquiring a special discipline that, you know, conflict zone pediatrics and conflict zone maternal medicine are really what we're going to be seeing in the 21st century.
No, I completely agree. And I think it's not just conflict zone, but post-conflict. I mean, Congo went through a war, and I mean, it's still recovering from that. It's one of the poorest countries in the world, but the case of Congo is not unique. A lot of the surrounding countries are going through the same things. And the reality is that in these settings, development is very, very low. Poor roads, no water, no sanitation, no electricity. And we need to find a way to be able to bring these high impact, low cost interventions into these settings to the people who actually need it.
Dr. Christelle Wedi is a Congolese doctor and co-founder of Ona Mtoto Wako, a project in the Democratic Republic of Congo that brings all kinds of health care, including ultrasound, to moms and patients in the rural areas of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Doctor, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, John. Honestly, it's been a pleasure.
Dr. Wedi's story came to us from News Deeply's Women's and Girls Hub, which reports on issues affecting women and girls in the developing world. To find out more about Dr. Wedi's program, you can visit www.newsdeeply.com/women and girls.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.